Harper Audio presents Murder is Easy by Agatha Christie, performed by Hugh Fraser.
Chapter 1. A Fellow Traveller. England. England after many years. How was he going to like it? Luke Fitzwilliam asked himself that question as he walked down the gangplank to the dock. It was present at the back of his mind all through the wait in the customs shed. It came suddenly to the fore when he was finally seated in the boat train. England on leave was one thing. Plenty of money to blue, to begin with, anyway. Old friends to look up, meetings with other fellows home like himself. A carefree atmosphere of, well, it won't be long. Might as well enjoy myself. Soon be going back. But now there was no question of going back. No more of the hot, stifling nights, no more blinding sun and tropical beauty of rich vegetation, no more lonely evenings reading and re-reading old copies of the Times. Here he was, honourably retired, on a pension, with some small private means of his own, a gentleman of leisure, come home to England. What was he going to do with himself? England. England on a June day, with a grey sky and a sharp, biting wind. Nothing welcoming about her on a day like this. And the people, heavens, the people, crowds of them, all with grey faces like the sky. Anxious, worried faces. The houses, too, springing up everywhere like mushrooms. Nasty little houses, revolting little houses. Chicken coops in the grandiose manner, all over the countryside. With an effort, Luke Fitzwilliam averted his eyes from the landscape outside the railway carriage window and settled down to a perusal of the papers he had just bought. The Times, the Daily Clarion, and Punch. He started with the Daily Clarion. The Clarion was given over entirely to Epsom. Luke thought, a pity we didn't get in yesterday. Haven't seen the Derby run since I was 19. He had drawn a horse in the club sweep, and he looked now to see what the Clarion's racing correspondent thought of its chance. He found it dismissed contemptuously in a sentence. Of the others, Jujube II, Mark Smile, Santony, and Jerry Boy are hardly likely to qualify for a place. A likely outsider is... But Luke paid no attention to the likely outsider. His eye had shifted to the betting. Jujube II was listed at a modest 40-1. He glanced at his watch. 4:15. Well, he thought, it's over now. And he wished he'd had a bet on Clarigold, who was the second favourite. Then he opened the Times and became absorbed in more serious matters. Not for long, however, for a fierce-looking colonel in the corner opposite was so incensed at what he himself had just read that he had to pass on his indignation to his fellow passenger. A full half-hour passed before the colonel tired of saying what he thought about these damned communist agitators, sir. The colonel died down at last, and finally dropped off to sleep with his mouth open. Shortly afterwards, the train slowed down and finally stopped. Luke looked out of the window. They were in a large, empty-looking station with many platforms. He caught sight of a bookstall some way up the platform, with a placard, Derby result. Luke opened the door, jumped out, and ran towards the bookstall. A moment later, he was staring with a broad grin at a few smudged lines in the stop press. Derby result. Jujube II. Mazeppa. Clarigold. Luke grinned broadly. £100 to blue. Good old Jujube II, so scornfully dismissed by all the tipsters. He folded the paper, still grinning to himself, and turned back to face emptiness. In the excitement of Jujube II's victory, his train had slipped out of the station, unnoticed by him. When the devil did that train go out? He demanded of a gloomy-looking porter. The latter replied, What train? There hasn't been no train since the 3:14. But there was a train here just now. I got out of it. The boat express. The porter replied austerely, The boat express don't stop anywhere till London. But it did, Luke assured him. I got out of it. No stop anywhere till London, repeated the porter immovably. It stopped at this very platform, and I got out of it, I tell you. Faced by facts, the porter changed his ground.
Well, you didn't ought to have done.